So we are live. So welcome to the Body Balance November 2020 call. And this is here. We're here for you to support you in however you need supporting today. And it looks like a really small, it's like as we're winding down, this is the second to the last month. It used to be like crowds and crowds of people on these calls. And it's interesting. I always, for our energy recharge inner circle, which usually ends in August, that happens in the last couple of months. And I always attributed it to the summertime, right? Who wants to be indoors on a call with me when they can be outside in the sun? And I'm like, no, it's what they call senioritis, I think, you know, like in school when you just like it's short termer kind of syndrome. I'm like, there's not much time left for this. So therefore, you know, I won't show up anymore. I don't know what to attribute it to, but it's nice because we get some nice little cozy calls. And hi, Denise. Denise is on everything. Denise is just such a good, she's always coming to everything. Thank you, Denise. So we're here for our supports. And I always like to start with a celebration. And I just think it uplifts our spirits, especially right now. We all may need some of that. So I'd love to hear it. I'll start with Margaret.
Oh gosh. Well, I'm here. I really, you know, feel like I didn't take advantage of this program because I was kind of waiting on my husband and I realized that was a mistake. And so anyway, I'm trying to show up to everything now and just not to worry about his participation. And so my celebration is I'm here.
Can I take that a step further?
Yeah.
I'm here and I'm playing full out and I'm dedicated to my health.
Right. Great. Thank you very much.
That's why you're here.
Yes. Right.
And you know, it's interesting when we have like things that we're supposed to do or we explain things, it's really good to add as a, like, what do they call those parenthetical expressions? If I can remember my grammar from the olden days, but those expressions at the end that really warm your soul and your heart into the motivation of why. Right. So
yeah, right. I'm here and showing up for my health.
I'm here, but yeah, because I'm ready to be dedicated and take my health to the next level. Because, you know, when we look at 2020, it's been a pretty weird year. let's just say it's been a weird year to be nice. And things have happened that are not so good. And people are running scared. And health is on the forefront of people's minds, but it's not on the forefront of their actions. If you watch, right? It's like, oh, what somebody wrote, what comfort food are you, a friend of mine, you know, what comfort food are you partaking in to deal with this election thing? This is yesterday. And I'm like, I'm eating a salad and vegetables. And she wrote back, comfort food, really? I said, well, yeah, it's a beautiful salad and it's got all kinds of veggies and olives and pine nuts and something else that I really, hemp seeds. And the vegetables are like fresh and they're cruciferous. And I'm eating this with the comfort of knowing that I'm nourishing my body and I'm supporting my health and I'm supporting my immune system. Right. I'm not going to sit around eating junk food and drinking Coke to deal with my frustration about a health crisis. Like, we've got to get people educated on what they should be doing. And yeah, there's comfort. Look at what Sharon just showed us, her lunch. It was beautiful, right? It wasn't like, oh yeah, this is going to be miserable. It's a beautiful dish. And she's got this pad thai on it. And she had this beautiful curry soup, right? And I make comfort food, but it's like chocolate powder put into my coconut yogurt or, you know, some almond butter with chocolate powder in it and made into little balls or, and you can still have that pleasure, but always keeping in mind the forefront of the nourishment, right? The nourishment has to be first, nourishing your body, but also nourishing your heart and your soul. So are you watching things or listening to things that are depressing and are frustrating and are anger provoking? Well, stop, right? Because that's not feeding your spirit. And somebody said something yesterday, regardless of your political affiliations or what you think a good outcome would be right now, nobody knows any outcomes. So I know everybody's kind of, you know, on edge, but the point is that she said, no matter what the outcome of this or of, you know, something else that's you don't have control over, you got to take care of what you do have control over. And what you have control over is your choices. Every choice matters. And I can't find it. I have to go find my, I made this really cool bracelet thing. And then we're going to include it in the Shine VIP bundles. But, and it says empowered self-care. Every choice matters. And every choice does matter. What you drink, what you eat, what you think, who you associate with. Right? What you spray in your environment. And boy, some of my family members, I don't even want to go to their houses because they're spraying that Glade, you know, air freshener loaded with stuff that's endocrine disrupting and all that. And so, you know, you guys are here because obviously you want something different, right? You don't want to follow the status quo. You don't want to follow the standard American diet or the standard American lifestyle. And you're looking for support in helping you to get better. Some people don't even know. It's like interesting that one of my colleagues, she's a chiropractor nutritionist as well. And she posted on her thing. She says, true or false, what you eat affects your immune system. It was shocking to see the responses that her friends made to this. Like, huh, what you eat has something to do with your immune system? Like they were really like, well, tell me more. Which was great because she got to open up and tell them more, you know? But it's surprising how many people in this day and age don't realize that they are putting themselves at more of a risk of infectious disease when they eat Cheetos and cookies and whatever else they're eating to suppress, you know, to suppress their pain, then it's that puts you more at risk than not using hand sanitizer. Wow, that's a big revelation. I'm doing all my part. I'm doing this hand sanitizer thing and I'm just gonna stay away from you and wear a mask and I'm gonna be fine as they chug-a-lug the food that's completely destroying their immune system. And the interesting thing about the hand sanitizer, I'll just throw in there because I thought this was funny. One of our practitioners in NEPT is an optometrist. And so she's seeing people. When she's seeing people, she's intimate, right? She's right in their mucous membranes. So she's got to do the hand sanitizer before. So she ran a test, just for other reasons, on toxins in the body. Great Plains Labs has a toxin test. And she ran it, and she was high in triclosan. What's triclosan? It's the active ingredient in your hand sanitizer. She was also high in glyphosate, which totally shocked her because she's been organic for years and real careful about what she puts in. But that stuff like DDT and all that stuff lives in the body for actually decades. They've seen it. They've shown it in breast milk decades later after exposure to DDT. So same thing with glyphosate and all. So you might be like doing all the right things, but you might have a toxic overload in your body. And, you know, there's some good hand sanitizers that don't have all that crap in it. You know, you can use essential oils and coconut oil and all this other stuff. And even like doTERRA and Young Living, they have, you know, hand sanitizer waters that you can do. You can go to Whole Foods. My son was really into washing his hands. A boy into washing his hands. It was really amazing to have this kid that everything, you know, he's always washing his hands. And so he loved those hand sanitizers from Whole Foods, like the natural ones that have all the cool essential oils in them. And he liked them in the little papers so he could stick it in his pocket. And when he's at school, he can wash his hands, you know? So he's not quite as obsessive about it, but he was a little concerned about that when he was younger, like OCD, you know, and he does have some of those genes. Anyway, so I just thought I'd throw that in there, that everything you're doing matters, every choice you make. And sometimes it doesn't show, right? Sometimes you're like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm still tired, I'm still this. But it's all building up and we're actually rebuilding your body. You're actually replacing the cells and pushing out the bad stuff. And every organ gland, I was talking about this to the practitioners the other day, each one has a different timeline. So your small intestinal cells, they can replace themselves in 5 days. Your liver takes 7 years for it to completely replace itself. right? So there's damage to the liver, right? From all this exposure, from all these things we're doing to it, fatty liver, from, you know, poor choices in terms of sugars, which causes fatty liver, from fructose consumption and all that. It's going to take a while to get over it. So I would say, just wrapping that up, is be patient with yourselves, and congratulations on being here. And I'm sorry I took all that time out of our 30 second to 1 minute congratulations, but it was really worthwhile, because I congratulate you. So it took you longer, right? You're here, right? You're here. And that's what matters. And sometimes I learned about health stuff for like 2 or 3 years from a friend who was a health nut, I thought, back in the 80s. Yeah. And I didn't do anything about it until a few years later, when I started to have problems, because I was in my 20s at the time. And then I went, oh my God, she told me this 2 years ago. Oh my God, she told me that 2 years ago. Like, she was the nut that was eating, instead of eating bread and crackers with peanut butter on it, she was eating apples with almond butter back in the 80s. You know, and I was like, what is that? You know, why does she do that? And now, full cycle, I'm the crazy health nut. Okay, so Lynn? Yeah.
Lynn is happy.
Happy, okay.
Lynn is happy, she's energetic, she's not stressed.
Yay.
We made the decision yesterday to not watch the television or turn on our phones.
big thing. I didn't watch TV for years, and then suddenly it was like my husband's downstairs watching TV and I'm here now. Like, I finally sit with him and I kind of work. But that is such a great decision.
And we fasted and we saunaed and did whatever we wanted to do. And I woke up this morning and picked up my phone. It exploded. Messages.
With all the messages from everybody.
I just turned it off and put it back down.
Good job. Good job. And that, you know what that just says? What I just said, choice, right? Every choice matters. And you made the choice to just dissociate from all that. It was still happening in the world.
Well, you can't do anything about that.
You can't do anything.
I mean, I voted. I did my thing.
You think, right? You voted and then you...
I voted. And I did my responsibility. Right. So yeah, I feel great. I'm just coming off of the 5-day feasting with food.
Good.
It does me better than anything else. So my goal is to stay on track as I swing into sweet spot.
Awesome. And once a month with that, right? Yes. 5 days a month. Don't do it every day. Don't try to do it every day. Your metabolism will slow down, come to a screeching halt.
No, I didn't do it every day. I tried to adapt it in between there and when sweet spot started. Do you know what I'm saying? And I ended up not eating enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. It wasn't that I was trying to stay on it. I knew I needed to eat more, but something I was eating was not clicking.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think it's going to be helpful to go into the, or maybe you were going to start the elimination diet. That might be better before I go into sweet spot. Are you still doing that in November? You were talking.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I don't have the exact dates. I'm trying to figure it out with them. You know, with the Shine is happening next weekend.
Yes,
this weekend. So, and I need a break after that. So probably either beginning. Actually, I think I'm going to do it at the end of November, because who does integrative. But then there's Thanksgiving. So I have to try to figure out, last year I did it right before Thanksgiving and it worked out well for people, because they felt like, you know, they felt a little later and they felt a little happier and healthier before Thanksgiving. So if I can squeeze that in before Thanksgiving, I think I will.
How long is it?
We're talking two things. Never mind. Let me just start. I'm getting it all twirled around in my head. So the fasting while feasting is 5 days. Right. The elimination diet, it just depends, right? And that's why it's kind of hard to start that before Thanksgiving, because, you know, people really like they're hung up on Thanksgiving, right? You have to do certain things. And if you're, so I think it's best to start it right after Thanksgiving, quite frankly. Okay.
Because, so how long does it usually take?
Well, I like to get people to do the elimination part for at least 5 days. Some people go for a couple of weeks, because you're eliminating things and looking to see how your body feels. And if your body's feeling better after 5 days and you're like, woohoo, woo, way to go, then it's time to reintroduce. But if you're still like, oh, I'm still having this, I'm still having that. And sometimes there's withdrawal symptoms, right? You're withdrawing from things you're allergic to, you're craving. So it could be 4 or 5 days of elimination, but it could be longer. But then the provocation is more than that. So
isn't it in the body balance program? So I still have access to that. So I could start that.
Yeah, it's in, and it's in the Empowered. You joined the Empowered, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So
you can start it anytime you want, and it's all laid out.
Yeah, I've essentially done a 5-day cleanse.
If you just did a fast, and if you just did this fasting while feasting, you did, and you've eliminated the top allergens for sure. Because that, so you could just start the provocation. So go to the provocation. Okay. It's the third tile. So there's 4 tiles on the dashboard. One is prepare, and that's like, you know, you're filling out forms, trying to figure out what. And I think you've done that before. And then the elimination part, and then there's the provocation part, which is add things back a little at a time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the other thing I'm excited about is I found the doctor. He's way behind me, but he's willing to work with me.
He's behind you.
He's willing to order whatever test I want. He's trying to get me a free Freestyle Libra.
Okay.
But I have discovered something when you're finished with the thankfuls that we can come back and discuss, because I discovered interesting things about my cortisol and sleep and my aura. So.
Okay. Sounds good. You know, it's interesting. You said he's behind you, and I hear this from a lot of people. Like, they come through our programs, and then they're like, their doctor is way behind. Well, Denise and you and I were talking about that the other day. I just tell her, like, she didn't get that what this test was. And all. So I think it's really cool, because that's the empowered healthcare system paradigm that I want for this world, is that everybody's educated. And of course, the doctors are going to have to catch up and get ahead. But, you know, I think
that's what I'm hoping. He and his wife have just started this practice. They're both DOs, and he's a graduate. He's just set up his practice. So he doesn't have a lot of the
Well, tell him to come to
baggage.
Shine. I'll give you a free ticket for him to come to Shine if he doesn't know me.
Really? I'll ask him, because I'm meeting with him in the morning on a telephone call.
I'll give you just text me and I'll give you a link for that, because I want to get more people like that, like medical students that are like just about to graduate or just starting their practice, and indoctrinate them right from the beginning.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thank you. Okay, Denise, what's your celebration?
I had a really nice day today. I took a walk to the bay, and the sun was so beautiful today. So it was nice. It was very relaxing and very peaceful, and got sunshine on my face.
Oh, sweet. And you have the bay near.
I have the bay. It was very cold though.
You know, when my mother and father used to live in Northport, East Northport, on the other side of the island from you. But we'd go there for Christmas every year. And, you know, they lived, you could walk to they were like a mile away from the ocean. Right. And it would be like the winter coat and the scarf and the hat, but I was going to go, and I would get out and I would do my jog on. And it was lovely, but I hate the cold.
It's cold. The wind is just whipping around out there. So,
yeah, but it's good for you, because it's good for you to get the fresh air.
Yeah, it was really nice. I enjoyed it.
So Sharon, there's 2 Sharons. Sharon Kassane, is it Kassane, right? Or Kassan? Kassan. Okay, you're muted now. So unmute. And then there's, let's see, it looks like David came on and Sharon. Okay, we got 2 more people. Okay, you want me to wait?
Can I let you
Okay. No, okay. We have our other Sharon and we have David after you. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I've been celebrating my lunch. It's sort of the last of the garden fresh vegetables that we'll get. Yeah.
Nice.
And just, you know, listening to you talk about comfort foods and things like that. Recently I don't think you can get them in the United States, but here it's Hawkins cheesies. These are like the premium cheesy. And they were pretty good. And I tried one recently. It wasn't even any good.
It wasn't even good. That's when you know you've come far, right? When you're old, that happened to me after a year of like being off of everything. And I was about to do a fast, right? And I knew I was going to do this fast, and then I was going to change my diet forever. That was my decision. And I went, I want a grilled mozzarella cheese sandwich. just melted on there, mozzarella cheese. And I just had this, I'm going to have this. It's going to be the last time I'm ever going to have it again, because I'm going to stick to the tried and true after my fast. And I made it and I'm all excited. And I took a bite and I'm like, this doesn't taste like I remembered it tasting. And I took another bite. Like, it just didn't turn me on at all. It was like, it's good when you get to that point. Because what people think is they think I have a lot of willpower. And in reality, I have zero willpower. It's really hard for me. I have made decisions about what I will and will not put in my body. So there's no willpower involved for me to not smoke cigarettes, right? There's no willpower involved for me to not, you know, snort cocaine, right? There's no willpower involved for me to eat cheese or cake or pot or any of the really cool stuff I used to eat anymore, because I know how bad it is for my body and I've made this decision. And so what I think about, I explain to people sometimes, is think about, like, if you've ever been on a farm and you go outside and there's the animal pens, right? And there's animals on this side, and maybe they're keeping the bulls away from the females, right? For whatever reason. But there's pens and there's animals, and they could look at each other, but they can't get at each other because they're separate pens. So what I think about is, in the one section is everything that, you know, that is currently available to me that I'm currently eating, ingesting, doing. And on the other side of the other pen is like the things I've thrown over the fence. So I threw over the cocaine and the cigarettes and all that. They never were on my side of the fence. And there's other things that were there. So I just keep throwing things over the fence. And the more I learn about things, and the more I learn about the downsides of things, right? I throw them over the fence. And so if you get the urge to try something like that, you think about, well, what's this going to do? Sometimes you have to try it, and you do, and you go, well, this doesn't turn me on as much. And you know what? It's not worth the snotty nose and the congestion in my chest and the low energy. It's over the edge, right? And it never comes back, mm-hmm. right? It just really doesn't come back, because you've made that really deep decision. So thank you for sharing that.
It didn't even taste good. So I have no desire to try again.
No desire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Thank you.
Have you started actually implementing the Empowered Self-Care Lab, or just the one call that you did where we did the orientation?
Well, we did the orientation, and then there's 4 calls a month with that. And mm-hmm. they're the calls that used to be the vital calls are now, because it's swallowing up the vital. So you've got the health topic. Well, there's 3 that used to be vital: health topic, the kitchen, and then there's 2 support calls. And so we have started that, and we'll be continuing it, and there'll be more and more activity with that, and more stuff. And if you did the full pay, you're going to get access to this. I'm so excited about the herbal therapeutics class that I'm going to start in December. I am so excited about that, because I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I'm like, oh, you should put this in your winter toolbox, right? Of things, like have a basket of herbs that you're going to take or need if you get exposed or if you start to have a sniffle. So we're going to go through all those kind of general day-to-day kind of things, as well as more of the long-term, like supporting your adrenals and heart and all that. So I'm super excited about that. So yeah.
Well, I've been attending all the calls, but, I did explore the new site.
Great.
But I haven't started anything on it. I sort of took a break. I've done the 2 years of Body Balance, and I just had things that I needed to get done around home. So I've done that. And now next week I'm ready to
reconnect. Yeah, so jump right in with the roadmap. So I decided to do this. Like, sometimes I do call programs where every week you're getting a new email and it goes, tells you to do something. And that's great for the first 2 weeks. And then after that, either somebody's fast and they're going like, where's the next thing? Or most of the time it's, I'm overwhelmed, I don't have time. So instead I took all those, that email kind of copy that I would set out, and just put it in the workbooks. So I've got 3 workbooks so far, and you can just start at the beginning one and read through it. And if you've already mastered something, the cool part is you can print them out, put them in a binder. But the cool part is, if you've already mastered a certain piece of it, I'm already drinking water. I don't, you know, need to do that, unless you're just curious and you like to watch videos and learn more stuff. But I got that one down, and you can just check them off as you go through. Right. Yeah. Great. Thank you. David, we're sharing celebrations.
It's unusual for me, but I'm having a little trouble coming up with celebrations. I'm managing to make my yoga classes 3-4 times a week. So I'll go with that.
That's great. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. And you say that, I'm sorry, I keep going off on everybody's thing because it triggers something that's important. But when you say that, like, it's hard to come up with celebrations, we tend to be our own worst critic. And so if we're not like doing everything perfectly and, you know, living the life of this monk who's, you know, at the top of the mountain and meditating half an hour, you know, 3 times a day or whatever, we don't give ourselves credit. So sometimes the celebration is just that the sun is shining out there and I can look out and I can appreciate that. And, you know, you've been through a tough more than a couple of months, but specifically, especially so in the last couple of months. And when we can, you know, pull away from that, not, I don't mean suppress pain or like cover it up by eating Hershey's Kisses or something, right? Oh, it's gone, right? I'm not a problem, I have a problem. Oh, now I have a problem because the high just wore off, right? But it's like when we can still appreciate things, right? You know, celebrating your mother's life and the appreciation of who she was and what she gave you. I mean, you know, look what she gave you. She gave you a lot. So, and that kind of thing, but it is hard. I remember, and I'll give you the story because, you know, whenever you hear of other people's plights, about 3 years ago, I think it was maybe 4, we had a drought for a long time and everything started burning. It was 100+ degrees for like 30 days straight and things started burning, kind of like California, right? The fire started, maybe not as extensive an area. And there was this particular area that had a lot of fires called Bastrop. And a couple months later, we have these monthly gatherings. We haven't had them this year, but we usually have these monthly gatherings where people bring food and we celebrate, and we celebrate each other, we celebrate health. And this friend of mine, Craig, came to this gathering and I hadn't seen him in a couple of months. And he wasn't unusual because he usually goes away for the summer. He usually like escapes the heat and goes up north to visit his family for a month. So I said, hey, how you doing? How did you survive those fires? Did the fires affect you? Because he lives in that area. He goes, oh yeah, my house burned down. And then he kept going with this conversation he was having with somebody. And I'm like, oh my God, your house burned down? I said, and you're so calm about it. He goes, well, what else is there to do? I have no control over the situation. He said, and you know what? He had built the house. It was a straw bale house and all this natural stuff. And so he said, you know, there were a few things when I built it, I wasn't real happy with as I started living with, and I wished I could change. And now I have the opportunity to change it. So he just took that negative situation, right, and turned it around into something that was positive. So we just need to be a little less hard on ourselves, I think, you know what I mean? Because if you're doing yoga 3-4 times a week, yeah, that's something to celebrate, right? So good for you, David.
Yep.
Yeah, good for you. One more person on here. Who is it? Sharon B. We have Sharon B and Sharon C. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Hi. So I just got back from a walk. It's 75 degrees and you have to realize where I live. A week ago, it was snowing.
Where do you live?
Minnesota.
It's 75 degrees in Minnesota?
Yes, it's 75 this week. It's just beautiful.
Lovely. Congratulations. There you go, right? Got outside. Got
right.
The sun. Woohoo. Get as much as you can right now because it's right. Not going to last, right?
It's not going to last.
Good for you.
And then my first blood sugar client changed doctors, talked the doctor into doing Libra continuous blood sugar monitor. And so
nice.
Our conversation will be on Friday on how to install it and track all the food. So I'm excited that he's gotten that far.
That's great. Good for you. It's exciting. We are changing the world, right? We are part of that revolution to change it, to change
one person at a time.
One person at a time, or sometimes in my case, 1,000 people at a time. But
right.
Try to get them all in one room and get them all in each other's energy and get them ready. So that's what we're trying to do at Shine, right? Is to get all these practitioners in the room and get them excited, you know, because you were at Shine last time. Okay, so who has a need for support, like questions, comments, things? Okay, Lynn, go for it. Lynn and then Margaret, okay.
I got the Oura Ring and it's been consistent that my blood sugar, not my blood sugar, my heart, resting heart rate.
Resting heart rate, okay.
Stays pretty level, whatever it is, it can fluctuate up and down, but it goes, then I wake up about 2 to 4, I think we talked about this before, and then I go to sleep and it goes down like what it should have done when I went to sleep at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or whenever I was going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I was going through boxes trying to find the medical files and I found a cortisol test from 2007.
Oh my God.
I found all these tests because I had tests by functional doctors and I kept them. I kept all the lab results.
Wow.
But I didn't have any idea what they meant. And what they did at the time was just tell me what to do. They'd tell me what to take, like what vitamin or what to eat, or they acted a lot. Right,
without an explanation of why.
Not an explanation. And I don't do things that I don't understand. And when I asked for an explanation, he made it so organic chemistry that I couldn't keep up with what he was talking about. So this test shows my function, cortisol rhythm from 7 to 8 a.m. is depressed. It's actually the opposite of
what it should be. That should be your peak.
Yeah, there's a little map, there's a little chart on here. So 11 to noon, it's normal. 4 to 5, it's normal. And 11 to midnight, it's elevated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a reverse pattern, right?
What does that mean?
So that's why your cortisol's out of rhythm. So it keeps, you're less likely to fall asleep well, or if you do, you're going to wake up.
No, I fall asleep, boom. My Oura Ring is very concerned because I fall asleep so
quick.
Oh,
you have the short trend. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 3 minutes.
Yeah, and that means you're overtired. Yeah. That usually, no, the reason the Oura says that, right? They call it the sleep latency is how long it takes. And they want it to be like 5 minutes is, you know, 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But if you fall asleep quicker than that, it means you're so bloody exhausted that you couldn't stay. You just hit the pillow and went out.
But that's my habit.
Yeah. Like, but that exactly, it could be that there's some cellular energy issues going on there.
I can, but if I'm on a plane and I know I had a meeting when I traveled and worked, I could fall asleep. Like I could sit down in the seat, fall asleep and wake up in an hour and be fine. So I'm not sure it has anything to do with that unless I'm cellularly tired all the time. That is entirely possible.
Yeah.
So what do I need to look at?
Okay. So this is from 2007. So you don't know if that's the same. If you saw this functional medicine doc, they probably put you on some herbs, maybe some things in the morning, like licorice and, you know, other things that are stimulating.
B vitamins and an adrenal.
An adrenal complex. And the adrenal complex has the stuff that supports it.
Okay.
With a pattern like that, I'd be doing different things. I would be having you do something that's an adrenal, you know, a lift in the morning and something that starts to calm you down in the evening. Right. So some of those more calming herbs in the evening. And I would probably look at B6 and things like that because they help with melatonin.
That's what the B complex was.
The B complex, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with B complex though, because if you're taking B6 to help you with sleep, because it's required for making melatonin, and you take a B complex and it's got B1, B2, and B12 in it, it can be stimulating. It's the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in working with the adrenals, I like to work on the individual nutrients. So for example, B5 is a super important one for adrenal function because B5 helps the body convert from cholesterol into a hormone called pregnenolone, which is the grandma of all the other hormones.
Yes, and that's a problem in mine. They showed that. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
They wanted to put me on progesterone, but I had that... I don't remember why he didn't, but it's a good thing he didn't because I have the factor 5 Leiden that we discovered in 2011 and the hormones. I cannot take estrogen. It would
Well, estrogen's different than progesterone.
I know, but there are certain types of
estrogen. Antagonizes estrogen.
Yes.
On a cellular level. So oftentimes people need to, when they do have a sensitivity to estrogen or have had estrogen sensitive cancers, progesterone can be super helpful.
Yes.
For balancing that out. Right.
Yes.
And nobody should ever go on estrogen without progesterone. It's dangerous.
They discovered that when all those people had heart attacks, all those women from birth control pills.
Yeah, and they were giving them estrogen. And those are not even, those are synthetic estrogens. Those aren't even the natural estrogen. And what they're looking at is, have you done a Dutch test? I can't remember if you've done a Dutch test.
I think I have, not with you, but I think there's one in this stack of stuff.
The Dutch test gives you an idea, not just when the doctors say run your estrogen and they run it in the blood, they're running estradiol, one of the estrogens.
It's urine. You collect it for 24 hours and send them a sample?
No, it's not 24 hours. It's actually easier than that. There's little strips. And there's like 5 different collection times throughout the day. You pee on the strip, you send them in. So it's much easier than a 24 hour. The 24 hours are brutal. But Meridian Valley Labs has something similar to the Dutch. And it may be a little more accurate, but compliance is like to the pits because it's a 24 hour.
I think that's what I had.
Because Meridian Valley's been around a lot longer than Dutch. Dutch came out about 5 years ago.
So that's the lab, the Dutch test. It's not the type of test, it's the lab.
Well, the lab is Precision Analyticals, and the Dutch stands for dried urine test for comprehensive hormone. I mean, they just made that name up to make it a cool
sound. I see.
Right? So dried urine test for comprehensive hormones is what that stands for.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a good one to get because it can give you information. And if you are waking up in the middle of the night, I always have you request, and this sometimes I think they just now do it. I don't remember. Denise, do you remember if they gave you 5 strips or 4?
I did the 24-hour urine and sent it in.
Yeah, that's different.
Take it all up and you...
Yeah. If you do that...
Marie, if I could, you were asking if they gave extra.
Oh yeah, Sharon, thank you.
Because I did the what was the one that you know,
precision analytics.
Yeah, with you at one point, and they did give an extra one so that if you wake in the night, they could.
Great, perfect. Yeah, so if you wake in the night, you use the one in the middle of the night, so you know what your levels are in the middle of the night. You know whether you're waking up because your cortisol's high, or you know maybe some other reason.
Okay.
It's a good test for seeing where you're at. I mean, you can't really look at a test from 2007 and expect.
No, absolutely not. But it's really interesting to be able to have tests that I can get now and to compare them and to look for things that I should test for.
Exactly. That's a great idea. Keep going through those stacks and
trying to understand them. So that's been interesting. So yesterday, the last time I went to the doctor, I was going over the aura with him. He was fascinated with it. We went over the resting heart rates and all of these things. And he said, you need more deep sleep. And I'm like, yeah, really?
Thank you.
He did that. And he laughed and he, you know, exercising, right? And I started remembering the parasympathetic stuff that we learned with her talk. And I know she's doing something
summit.
Right now. With
the summit starts right now, on the 9th. Yeah.
So I did the sauna yesterday. We had turned off the TV and all of that was gone. And I have a photon sauna, which is a red light sauna thing. And I did that before I went to bed. And I've developed TMJ and a frozen shoulder. So I did it there. And then I did it on my feet. And I took an essential oil, Capeba. And I wish I could show you my phone, but I went to bed and my heart rate dropped the first hour. Nice. I had a resting heart rate. It's the first time since I've had the aura that it has ever done that.
Awesome.
And my
HRV, heart rate variability. Yeah.
It was good. My scores were 95 and 89.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is something about the parasympathetic.
There's something in parasympathetic. So I would say do that more often, you know, as often as
I will.
Good, and I like it on the network, so you keep doing it, right? But yeah, you're right, putting together the parasympathetic, and that's important. The thing, if you don't have time to do the whole sauna red light therapy thing, get the oils and put them on the little spot behind your ear. She has a Vibrant Blue Oils has a parasympathetic.
I have it. I couldn't find it yesterday, so.
Well, you'll find it. But you put it right behind your ears.
Yeah.
And then you can put it in here, right? You can put it on your forehead. So, you know, pineal gland is right behind here, right?
I can't do it at night. It made me absolutely hyper.
Doing the parasympathetic oil makes you hyper. Yes.
And based on what her Facebook page is and some of the things I've read, it does that with some people. And she's never answered why. She just says, do it in the morning.
Yeah,
and
so it's hard to answer some of those things, right? Because there's some people who valerian root is like Valium is based on that. It knocks you out. But for a small percentage of the population, I mean, so much knock you out that in the morning you're having a hard time getting up. But for a small percentage of the population, it stimulates.
It's like Benadryl. So you're
one that it stimulates to share.
Really?
Right? So it's challenging when that happens. And we don't, like, scientifically, it's really hard to explain. I had somebody who would have trouble sleeping. And if she drank coffee before going to bed, she would sleep through the night. So we have some weird idiosyncrasies in our brains. So.
But I did do it in the morning and it worked fine.
Okay.
It didn't make me drop my resting heart rate when I went to bed.
Well, do you do heart math before going to bed? When you get in bed, I
pray and meditate. And that's also what I do in the sauna when I do 30 minutes in the sauna. That's what I do. I pray and I meditate and breathing and all of that.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think you're on the right track. I would look at getting a Dutch test to dig through your stuff to see if you have the 24-hour meridian. That'll give you some good way to compare.
So that'll be something to compare the Dutch test to.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you could sort of compare your saliva test that you're looking at right now to that in part of it. Like, they do have the section on cortisol, but the Dutch goes into more detail on the different metabolites of cortisol. So it gives you more.
He had the DHA. He tested the insulin, progesterone. Yeah. So I'll compare it to that.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thanks.
So Margaret, you're next.
Yeah, I want to share some results from a bone density from a bone scan. I'm just going to put it in the chat. Can you guys read that okay?
Let me see. Yeah. Okay, so your Z-scan.
Yeah, the spine, the femoral neck, and the total hip. I see it wrapped around, the table wrapped around a little bit on my end.
Okay, yeah, so the hip, the total hip looks normal. The other two look osteopenia.
Yeah, so I went, I got the information on the herbs from the program, wherever you have it listed, I found it. I don't remember now because I did it a while ago.
Yeah,
and I think you had three herbs listed, and I went to Mountain Herbs, but they only had two in stock. So I got the alfalfa powder and the nettle leaf powder.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, what do I do with them? How much do I take? Sure.
Absolutely. You can use them in just about anything. So you can add them to a smoothie. I would say probably... Maybe it's powder already. It's not, is it leaf?
It is, it's powder.
So it's gonna be more concentrated. So you could do 1 to 2 teaspoons in a smoothie. You can use it in pretty much anything. They don't have much of a flavor. I mean, they don't flavor anything. So I'll sometimes put them in like a chocolate recipe. I'll put them in elixirs. I'll put them in smoothies. If I'm making like a salad dressing, I can put them in there. So you can just put them in pretty much anything. But I would say try to get between a teaspoon and a tablespoon a day of each one.
Of each one of the two herbs, alfalfa and nettle leaf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think you'll be fine with just the two of them. And horsetail gives it a little extra. Horsetail has a lot of silica, so good for nails and hair as well as.
Okay. Can you say that one more time?
Horsetail, which was the third herb, the one you said they didn't have.
Oh.
Yeah, that one has a lot of silica. They all have silica. They're, okay. It's especially known for silica, which can also help with hair and nails.
Okay. And also I wanted to ask, I guess I'm like 3 years now without a period.
How old are you?
I just turned 56.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. So I think I've been like three years without a period.
Yeah, and, I would say, yeah, you're definitely in menopause.
And this year, I'm really noticing a lot of changes in my skin starting to sag, and I feel like I'm just bone here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I have a hard time recalling things that I don't use every day in my past. Like sometimes I do the crossword puzzle in the New York Times or something, and I can't remember the name of a sitcom or a Greek god or whatever. Like, it's just not there. And I don't know, that especially past couple of weeks, I'm just feeling like, you know, past month, I would say that I really miss estrogen. And I haven't done any of those.
The testing, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm wondering where I should start, what I should.
Yeah, so a couple of
things. Are these things I should be concerned about? Because I know we're not supposed to just say, well, we're getting older. Of course, we're going to start losing our collagen and whatever. Yeah, and our skin's going to start sagging. But
right. So there's a couple of things you can do. And in terms of testing, I think the Dutch test would be your best bet.
Okay. And I can read about that on the site.
If you go to the lab testing page, okay. Right across the top, it says lab testing, and scroll down to it on the page, click Precision Analyticals is the name of the company, and it describes it. And there's a little button that says learn more, and you can learn more about it. But you can also just go to their website, Precision Analyticals.
Okay.
If you just go to Google and type in Dutch test, you'll get there.
Okay.
They have videos and they have all kinds of great information about it.
And that's something that I can maybe get my regular doctor to order?
Probably not.
I'm at Kaiser, so they're
probably
very.
Probably never heard of it.
Okay.
Right? If they want to test your estrogen, they're going to test estradiol in your blood. They'll test progesterone in your blood. They'll test DHEA or testosterone in your blood, but that's the extent of it. Right.
And yeah, I've been attending a little bit of this summit that's going on right now.
That
you sent emails about. Yeah. And they're talking a lot about estrogen as a protective hormone. And it's not mm-hmm. as, because I know for a while everybody was saying don't do anything. I never did any hormones. I mean, except perimenopause, I did have some periods of extreme heavy bleeding. And I did use some progesterone to get that under control because I didn't want to have hysterectomy or ablation or anything.
No, of course.
So, but other than that, I never did hormones. And for the most part, I didn't do birth control pills during my fertile years.
Good for you. So the point about doing a test that's a more comprehensive, like the Marie that I was talking about with Lynn or the Dutch test, is it's looking at all the types of estrogen. And if, say you go to the doctor and you test and they go, oh, look, your estrogen's low. Let's put you on estrogen. The typical doctor is going to put you on horse urine estrogen, which you don't want. But even if not, they'll put you on even if they put on a bioidentical from there, they may put you on the wrong combination and throw you into a state where you're more likely to have proliferation, you know, the growing of the estrogen sensitive tissues, which would be ovaries and breasts, which would lead to higher risk of cancer. So when you look at the metabolites, you can look at, there's one called estriol, E3. They don't ever test that in the blood. I don't know if they can, but that one is protective. And when you put somebody on estrogen after menopause, it should be in most cases, 80% estriol. In some cases, it's a little less. In some cases, it's a little more. And you can tell that from the testing. And then they put people on estradiol, like the pellets. Stick these little pellets in your butt. And now you have them for 6 months. Mm. It's unopposed by progesterone. It's unopposed by, doesn't have the support of estriol.
Yeah.
High risk of cancer. In fact, Dr. Allison, who's going to speak at Shine, she spoke about this last year at Shine. She showed some cases where she had inherited practice from somebody who retired and was doing these pellets, and all these patients came in and said, well, I just need a refill on my pellets. She goes, hold on. We're going to test you to see, because I don't think it's safe. And she started researching and then testing people, and their levels were off the chart in danger zones, like off the chart. So the pellets are not a good idea. The other thing they often do is a patch or a cream. That's just the estradiol, and it throws you off. So if you, if you're considering that, and it might be helpful, estriol is actually available over the counter. In fact, I have some here. Here they send me samples. Biomatrix has this thing called Estadapt, but again, I don't usually want to put somebody on it.
Yeah, I guess the first thing is to do some testing, and I'm wondering the Dutch test. I'll do some research on that, but I'm wondering, should I be first looking at my cortisol or something else?
Dutch test tests the cortisol. Wow, it's comprehensive. Okay, so it's just that whole, you know, ball of wax, the whole family of those hormones. And it's super important to know that kind of stuff. So yeah, the other thing I was going to say to you, just for some of the symptom stuff, right, for helping support the collagen, there are protein powders that you can do and add to smoothies or juice. So there's one from Sun Warrior. They call it, it's plant-based collagen peptides. I mean, of course you can do the bone broths and you can do the collagen stuff. I try to stay away from the animal products just because I'm afraid of contamination with lead and like bones.
Yeah.
They have lead in them. And when you concentrate that, so the plant-based collagen from, it's actually all the nutrients your body needs to make good collagen.
Okay. And so it's,
Sun Warrior has one. And then there's one from Amazing Grass called Glow. And they have one as well. And you can try both of them and switch them up. And, you know, it's always good to switch things up. Yeah, so that's one thing. And then the other thing you said, so the collagen, you, what did you say? Oh, memory. Okay. Yeah. So
sometimes. It's more like recall. Like my everyday stuff, I'm fine.
Right.
But
I was going back and going, I couldn't remember the first name of somebody. I'm like, what? Oh yeah, it's her, right? I had to look at a list to recognize.
Like this total blank on.
It just completely blanked. Choline, acetylcholine is super important.
What is that?
Choline, acetylcholine is the neurotransmitter that goes down when we're under stress. So it's a parasympathetic. So what we were talking about with Lynn was like, sign up for this parasympathetic summit and learn as much as you can. And then there are some in the Stay in the Sweet Spot program that's part of Empowered. There's a whole section. I think there's two modules on parasympathetic and the vagus nerve, right? Because that's going to help your recall. What happens when you're under stress is cortisol goes up. Cortisol turns off the prefrontal cortex and damages a part of the brain called the hippocampus. Okay, hippocampus. Hippocampus is responsible for that. Let's just take the stuff and put it in memory. Oh, you want it back? Let's just take it back out. Right. Okay. So there's ways that you can support that. And one real easy way is to get some sunflower lecithin. I like sunflower versus soy because of the GMOs and all that kind of stuff. But if you can get a good organic soy lecithin, that's fine too. And you can get it on Amazon. There's a couple of really good brands. Micro Organics is one of them. And I can't remember some of the others, but you find an organic sunflower lecithin powder, and you just can stick like a scoop of that into things that you're making, whether it's a sauce or a smoothie or nut milk, and it actually is a good emulsifier. So if you've ever made nut milk and then stuck it in your fridge, it separates. If you ever make a smoothie and it separates, you can put that in there and it doesn't separate because it holds the fat and the water together. So it has some actual food value as well. So sunflower lecithin. And I've used it to make puddings and sauces and nut milk.
Ice cream.
What's that? Oh. Okay. So those are some things to help and support, you know. Anne Marie Gianni's skincare has some good topical things for the wrinkly, you know, that kind of stuff. And they're all natural. Like they make their products so that you can eat them.
I just feel like the change happened all of a sudden. Like I didn't show my age for a long time. People always thought I was like 10 years younger than I was. And I mean, it's just my genetics really. But I feel myself, like all of a sudden I look my actual age, and it's just,
Yeah, you know, like
a lot
that when that happens, right? So part of that could be, was there a stressor in your life that?
I've got two teenagers, and I mean, I guess that's the main stressor right now.
So those kinds of things turn you, they age you. The cortisol goes up, the acetylcholine goes down, the parasympathetic goes down. So anything you can do to support your parasympathetic, and we've got some resources for you on the site.
So you mentioned SHINE several times. Is this part of our program, or this is a conference? What is that?
It's a conference for health practitioners.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know, nerdy health consumers that come because they just want to know, right? And we get a lot of that. Yeah, David, and I think Denise is coming. But yeah, it's not part of the program, but it's,
okay.
It's not expensive. Yeah. It's a 3-day conference that we're having, and it starts next Friday.
Okay. Yeah. And also I was wondering about, you know, we get, and my, not just me, but my family members, we get this seasonal affective, like low mood, low energy during the winter. And I was wondering about maybe a light, or.
Those lights are great.
Is there a particular one you recommend, or?
I haven't done a lot of research on them recently. Okay. I bought one for my son when he was like around 13, 14. And he would say that all the time. Fortunately, he went off to college in Florida. And so he didn't have to worry about this problem anymore. But I got him one. I think I got it from Joel Fuhrman's site, possibly. But there's a lot of them out there. And you know, I'm sure the technology's changed and they've come down in price since then. So you can just do it and you can sit it, you know, depending on the, if you've got teenagers, they stick it on your desk, right? And just.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Put it so my son can have it shining on him while he's on his computer or whatever.
Exactly. And we'll get B12 is a possibility, sometimes B12 deficiency.
Okay.
And going outdoors as much as possible.
Okay.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Who else has questions? Peggy just came on. Hi, Peggy. Go ahead, David.
Yesterday, I told you that I was negative on gene tests for celiac.
Yeah.
I just looked. There's the test, but then there's all these other genes. And it looks like I'm actually red on a variety of them.
Okay. I can't read the top.
And I was just looking at your sheets. These guys.
Yes.
And it looks like on the ones I'm double red, celiac is mentioned on several of them.
Yep.
And then gluten and abnormal homocysteine and Hashi's and Graves and autoimmune issues and protein issues. And it's like, that's reading everything from my blood test.
Yeah, that is interesting when you can do that and you go, and
it's interesting. I procrastinated looking at these. When you had that special seminar on these, I just was totally into it, and I'd only just gotten my readout from genetic detoxification, and I just like procrastinated. I just had this block on actually going and looking up the pages in the genetic detoxification book. And in a sense, it's good because if I'd looked at the genes, it would have set my mind to interpret all these lab results we went over yesterday differently.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've had the lab results interpreted before looking at the genes.
Yeah.
So now I can take this extra information and use it a little more objectively, I think.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, because those of you who are in ERC, you'll see that we do the lab interpretation first, and then we do the genetics. And because I don't want people to go in and get the first the gloom and gloom, I'm just going to get Parkinson's. That's all there is to it, you know. And but also to see that there's a correlation, right? They've already heard that they probably have some B12 issues. They probably have some folate issues. B6 might be an issue because we went through the lab, and then you look at the genes, you go, oh yeah, makes sense. The folate, yep, it makes sense with the genes. Yeah. Yeah, so basically you've been gluten-free for whatever number of years. Maybe you weren't always as careful. I don't know how you are when you go out that you're not getting it. Now you look at your jeans and go, you know what? I better be careful about this.
And start looking at the cross reactive things,
combinations, right?
Which there have been times when I actually was taking a lot of like millet, which I saw on a cross reactive list. It's like, what? Yep. So that hit my subconscious and then it got set aside without me really thinking about it.
It takes a while. It all comes together, and sometimes it doesn't. Like, who said it to me? Oh yes, Lynn said, I if I don't understand it, I'm not necessarily going to do it, right? And though it takes a while, and then you go, oh, I better, like with caffeine. I'm really anti caffeine, not caffeine to an extent. Like green tea can be good. Cocoa has some good. But anyway, but coffee is so concentrated and people are so addicted to so much of it that I just have this thing, and my colleagues don't like it when I talk about it because they're like, oh yeah, you can drink it as long as it's good. Like, not necessarily. Let's look at the genes. And so when I keep telling people, yeah, I'm concerned about the amount of coffee you drink. And then we look at the genes and we look at like CYP1B1, look at that one. And you go, oh, okay. So here's how I explain it. You don't want to get off of coffee. Okay. So that gene that detoxifies the caffeine in your coffee is also the one that detoxifies the type of estrogen that causes breast cancer. So every time you drink a cup of coffee, you're distracting your body from detoxifying that estrogen, which is being generated all day long, right? It's not like you're just taking a cup of coffee and then going away. So do you want to take that risk, especially if there's some other inflammatory or cancer type genes in your history or a family history of cancer? And then people go, oh my God. And I've definitely had people in these group interpretations that we do in ERC say things like, you've been telling me for years I should get off gluten. And now I see why. Now I see that I have to do it, because they actually see it there and they go, oh, okay, I guess you were right. Right. And we all come around at different times based on what prompts it in our life. And so, yeah, you didn't go through all that. Now you're going through it and it's making a whole lot of sense. It's interesting how it's making a whole lot of sense.
Even functional doctors aren't up on this, because I was tested for gluten gene. I was tested for gluten in the blood with a blood test. And I was tested for gluten with a colonoscopy, and they all came back negative. Or for celiac.
For the enteropathy.
And now that I get this more complete thing, I've got several indicators that maybe celiac is, and my genetic history goes back to England. So,
It doesn't matter whether it's celiac or gluten right. intolerant. It doesn't really matter. Either way, when you eat it, it's causing an inflammatory response in your body. And it's one of those like ping, ping, ping. We don't know where it's reacting. Right. But for some people, it's in the brain. For some people, it's in the mitochondria. For some people, it's in all of the above. Right. Some people, it's in the gut. A lot of people say to me, I don't have a gluten problem. I don't get diarrhea when I eat gluten. Like, so. And I found studies. I did a research paper. I think I put it on one of the pages out there. There's a gluten page out there. And I put the study, and it's like, I found 60 references, and it was on neurodevelopmental aspects of gluten and how it affects kids and autism and ADD and all that. But I found so many papers on schizophrenia, depression, all sorts of things that people don't. And then there was this one doctor back in the 30s who associated, he basically said, you're going to see the effects of gluten in the brain, usually long before you see it in the gut. And here we are teaching doctors in medical school that unless somebody has, gluten enteropathy, which is like the breakdown of the tissue, the lining of the gut, then they don't have a problem. Just keep doing it. And then they stop it. And voila, right? The one lady that Dr. O'Brien talked about, she was a nun and she would take her Eucharist, her communion. And she was told, that can't be a big deal. And she'd gone and done all the gluten-free, and she still had some problems. And he said, look, go to your pastor, tell them you need gluten-free Eucharist and try that. And boom, all of the last of her symptoms went away. Only takes a little pinch.
I understand red means that the body has no way of doing what that gene is supposed to do.
No, that's not true. Red means both dad and mom gave you the wrong copy, but usually it's when that pathway will be about 80%, 75 to 80% off. It doesn't mean there's no functioning there, but it's very, very low.
And then when it's yellow, it could be no dysfunction. Or
no dysfunction, but you usually somewhere around 25%, which you may not notice. You know, if a particular enzyme in the body is operating at 75% capacity, it depends on what else is going on, how much you're going to notice it, right? And how many other
big block of yellows, I don't need to really worry about that as though it was a big block of reds.
If it's a big block of reds, I'd be concerned, but you still look them up and go, oh, okay, this is what this means. Though I'm going to be careful. You want to use the genes to help inform you as to what habits you need to change so that they don't express in a negative way. Make sense?
Yes.
Like you've seen my genes. I always say to people, if you saw my genes, they're in the Shine conference and the other places where I've given you like a sample. It says RL sample. Those are me. If you look at my brain genes, I should be a basket case, right? Based on my genes. I should be anxious and ADD and all this stuff. And I believe I would be if I hadn't discovered some other problems when I was in my 20s and completely changed my diet. I found out last year that me and one other sister, and there's 9 kids, are the only ones that are not on anti-anxiety medications. Most of them are on blood pressure medications. And most of them are overweight with the big belly around the middle. And so I know they have insulin resistance. Why? Because I look at my genes, right? I know, right? They have some of my genes. Yeah. So we can change it, right? I always say I'm a living example of how epigenetic expression really works. Because if you look at my genes, you go, oh, she's not functioning too well up there. And in reality, I'm functioning just fine with the exception of occasionally forgetting somebody's first name.
So I'm taking it was on purpose that CTLA-4 appeared both on the celiac disease SNPs and the autoimmune and inflammation SNPs because it's related to both.
It's related to both. And that
CTLA-4. And then you adjusted the write-up according to which section it's in.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Those charts, treat them like gold. They were a work of love. They took days and days and days and days. And researching and putting them together, and even just the formatting of them to get them all to fit on one page, and how are we going to make it happen?
Oh gosh, yes. So
those are invaluable. I should sell them, but I they're part of programs. So you guys, technically, I do sell them. You just have to.
It allowed me during this call to look stuff up, whereas if I actually had to go to the book, I didn't do that for 6 months.
Exactly, so. And that's what I was trying to do, is give you a summary of that those things. Okay, so it looks like Darren has a question, and then Lynn has another one. And if anybody else, I see Peggy joined us. If you have any questions or comments, we started out sharing a success, but then moving in now to challenges and questions. So if you haven't one, just raise your hand. Okay, Sharon.
Hi. I'm having a lot of problem with heart palpitations. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, so we've talked about this before. So what have you... Yeah, I think we did, no?
Just briefly.
Yeah, I think on the last call. So beyond what we already talked about, I mean, heart palpitations can be a hyperthyroid, right? Heart palpitations, sweaty, all that kind of stuff. It could be like an autoimmune Hashimoto's type thing, because sometimes Hashimoto's like flips back and forth between hypo and hyper. It could be a heart rhythm, you know, so it could be something in the electrical conductivity of your heart. It could be stress. It could be, you know, and noticing it. I remember talking and you didn't really notice that there was a pattern to it in terms of when and how.
No, and I have a Holter monitor on right now as we speak.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to suggest, is have the doctor do some, you know, evaluation to see
what's on. So I have that on. And of course, it's on a day that I'm not getting much activity. However, there was some. I've had to keep a journal of when I get these palpitations. And I mean, it's when I'm sitting at the computer or when I'm cooking dinner or washing dishes.
So it's not when you're out running a mile or chasing.
No, this morning I did my walk, which is about 5 kilometers, 3.5 miles, and nothing.
No.
And we've got hills. And
so it's not related to exertion. I mean, certainly could be related to stress, depending on what you're thinking and, feeling when you're doing all that stuff. But I would look, because you want to look to see if there's anything in the heart, in the muscle, and that's what they should be able to tell that from the monitor, the muscle or the conductivity, the firing of the waves. The other thing, I think we mentioned this last time, and it was hawthorn berry is a really good tonic for the heart. I mean, it's just strengthens the muscle of the heart. So you might look into and read it. I always recommend before you start on an herb is to go and make friends with it, like read about it. And if you read about it, you go, yeah, that's me. It's not going to be 100% you, but it's going to be like, even if it's like you're looking for the heart toning, but you go, oh, it has this other property and you relate to it, right? If you like repelled by an herb, oh, that doesn't sound like me at all, then that might not be the right one. But hawthorn berry comes to mind. It's a good liver detoxer. It's really good for strengthening the heart. It's good for breaking down fats in the body. In fact, one of my Chinese medicine teachers said that when he was in China, they in a Chinese restaurants, they would use hawthorn berry. They'd make a tea out of hawthorn berry and they'd use it to wipe the tables after the customers left to get all the grease off, because it has that kind of breakdown fats kind of property.
My naturopath has just run a full panel of thyroid tests and I don't have the results of those back yet.
Yeah, so including the antibodies, there's a third antibody that normally, I usually don't run on people because it's more, but it's TSI, thyroid stimulating immunoglobulin. So in addition to TPO and antithyroid globulin, that might be a good one to run.
Okay. I just wondered if you had anything other than, the thyroid and which one.
And the heart itself, something in there. Sometimes there, maybe there's a mitral valve prolapse or, some sort of a flap. Those things usually don't even get, you can have it for decades and they usually don't even get diagnosed or seen until much later. So that's a possibility as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, good luck with that. Let us know how that goes. Okay, Lynn.
We talked last time, when you looked at my lab results for body balance, about getting a C-peptide test, which I haven't done yet. I haven't had another lab workup done. But I found an old one in 2012, and it was 3.3 and listed as the intermediate risk range. What does that tell me about pancreas function, and how does it affect the pancreas? How does it tell me that information?
Well, usually we run C-peptide when we're curious about the functioning. So basically, when the body is making insulin, it has this other, from the precursor, it's cleaved off of this precursor, this C-peptide. And so in people who are type 1 diabetics, if it goes down too much, if it's too low, we're thinking, the pancreas isn't producing enough insulin, right? When we see people in, our ages, right, that are having problems with insulin resistance, we most naturally just gravitate to it's type 2. Right, we're making too much insulin and the cells, the receptors are not working properly. But in some cases, it's actually a latent autoimmune or like a latent type 1. And I've had a few people where I've diagnosed them and I can't say I've diagnosed them because I wasn't their doctor primary, but I helped them to get to the point where they understood that they actually had a latent type 1 diabetes. And sure enough, made a whole lot of sense and helped them to reverse it. So if the pancreas is worn out, now the pancreas can get worn out because it's a latent type 1 and there's an antibody attack on it, but also because there's been years and decades of insulin and you're overproducing, and then it gets worn out. Right. And
how do you increase the insulin? Just take the pressure off of the insulin.
Well, you have to take the pressure off the system. Yeah. Don't eat things that require it and keep your blood sugar under 120 at all times.
Right.
Under 100, because there's studies that show that those beta cells in the pancreas actually get whacked out whenever the blood sugar goes above 100, there's just a little bit of damage.
So what do you take or do to increase the insulin other than just taking the pressure off of it?
I don't know that there is anything. I mean, some people prescribe pancreatic glandulars, like actually bovine pancreas tissue that right. will supply some of the raw materials that it needs to regenerate itself. And if it's not too far gone, that can be helpful. There's this stuff that I got, and it's called the insulin plant. And I just saw it advertised, and I decided to try it and see. And I'm not very consistent with taking it, so I haven't really tailed. But I think it's called, I'm going to look at A-N-S-U-L-I-N. And it's an herb. It's just a particular herb. Costus igneous. C-O-S-T-U-S. I'll find it. Okay, here we go. This is not a, you know, the article is not really applicable, but it mentions the plant. And it's from India. And the leaves are supposed to lower blood glucose level and whatever. Yeah, so that's not the best study. We'd probably find one that actually talks about the plant a little bit more. But look that plant up. Look the name of that up and you can read more about it and see if it sounds like something that's worth a try. You can add it to smoothies, you can add it to soups, whatever.
So if my, excuse me, I have to go another page. If the C-peptide is in the intermediate range, it means I was producing insulin in 2012.
Yeah, so what's the range that they, I don't remember the range for C. Some things I remember the ranges for that I don't run enough to.
Mine was 3.3, the intermediate range was 3.1 to 4.6.
Okay. And then the low range, so they actually have three different ranges of it?
No, it would just be, if it's lower than that, it's low. If it's higher than that, it's high.
Let me just look it up. I'll look up the...
It was intermediate risk range.
Intermediate, that's what I was trying to get at.
Yes.
C-peptide is 0.5 to 2 nanograms per milliliter.
Normal or optimal?
It's normal, says. It says normal. What is the normal insulin resistance? I like to look it up in multiple places. So that's insulin. Here's one. How do I get my pancreas to produce more insulin? It's just a way to increase your insulin sensitivity. But guess what? You're doing all these things. Well, it's all the things in the sweet spot. Get more sleep, exercise more, reduce stress, lose a few pounds, eat more soluble fiber, eat more colorful fruits and veggies, add herbs and spices, add a pinch of cinnamon. So that's basically insulin resistance. You got to be careful what you read on the internet. The peptide test here. I'm looking for one that's like the actual lab. Some of the labs actually put this.
I just typed the question in the notes. I should have kept the lab result.
The peptide test, normal range, high and low levels. Here we go. Self-hacked. They have some good stuff. What is C-peptide? Yeah, this is a good one to read about C-peptide.
Thank you.
Some good information.
Here it is right here. I found the lab. Okay. 3.3. High risk range is greater than 4.6. Then the intermediate risk range is 3.1 to 4.6. Optimal range is 1 to 3.
Normal range, and here says is 0.8 to 3.5, varies between labs.
Levels. This is Health Diagnostics Lab.
Yeah, below. Yeah, so I don't understand if it's high is not abnormal. It's low and it's abnormal.
Well, intermediate risk.
High range. Means you're making too much insulin. Low means you're making not enough insulin.
I'm making too much insulin because I'm insulin resistant.
Yeah,
or was
that's a different situation than your pancreas burning out. Right. Okay. Yeah. Read about it there and you'll understand.
So it's healthy. So I just need to get my sugars down.
It's just, yeah, it's not like your pancreas is failing right now. If it was low, then
you're. That's good news.
Yeah, that's good news. Right. That it's just insulin resistance. Like you got to do what we know how to do. Right. Yeah. The opposite is definitely harder because point where the only way around it is insulin. I mean, there are some herbs. If you look it up in Sweet Spot, there's a list of herbs that we list as helping to support, but that actually help your body make more insulin. So ginseng, is it not ginseng? No, what's the other one? No, it is one of the ginsengs can actually help your body to make more, but that's not what you want.
No, because it's not good for you to have too much.
No. And it's C-peptide, when it's too low, it means you're not making enough and it could be going into pancreatic failure or there's an autoimmune condition going on.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good questions today, guys. You're like getting into details. Who else has a question? Peggy, it looks like you might be on the phone. So I don't know how it's like *6 or something to raise your hand if you wanted to, or just open your line. I can say ask to unmute so you can say hi. Yeah, it's not letting me. Sometimes it doesn't let me ask to unmute. Depends. It looks like you're on the phone because I don't see video next to your name. So, all right. Well, I've got another call to go on. So I will actually have a couple more minutes. What is it? I thought it said 3:34. I thought it was over, but 3:04. Yeah. So any other last minute questions? We have like 4 minutes.
I have an encouragement.
David, you got it up first and then we'll go to Lynn. So let's make them quick.
It's a quick encouragement. Yeah, my mother is 86. She's been doing water aerobics, I don't know, for 20 years. And she had a bone scan test and her bones had increased and she's not doing anything other than exercise.
Woohoo! Way to go.
It's
huge. Karen Osborne, who's going to be speaking at Shine on, not on that, this topic, but she does a lot of work with the yoga, and there's specific poses that if you hold them a certain length of time, like I think she said over 8 seconds or 12 seconds, that there's known benefits to increasing bone density. So she teaches a yoga class, yoga for bone health.
Wow.
Ask her if she teaches it online. Cause I'll get the information about that. Cause you guys would, you know, anybody that's over the age of 50 would benefit from learning how to do yoga for bone health. Okay, David.
Yeah. My local yoga has gone online if anybody needs Zoom yoga.
Cool.
Drinking water.
Okay.
That's one of my next things on the list. I've been like, okay, don't drink it during the meal because then the saliva doesn't get its chance to do its thing. Wait about 15 to 30 minutes after the meal. I take a lot of supplements around mealtime and I don't want to take them just after the meal because then I'd wash the saliva away. Is it okay to take them just before the meal and have a fair amount of water just before a meal? Does that affect the digestion?
Half an hour would be fine. But if you're just taking enough water to swallow supplements, it may not be a problem. I mean, we can't be perfect, right? So if you're just sitting down and drinking your quart of water with your lemon juice in it and you're doing mm-hmm. that right during your meal, sipping it during your meal, that's not a good idea. But if right before your meal, you're taking a bunch of supplements, is it usually before your meal that you take them?
I do that because I don't want to take them with the water during or after the meal. So now I just moved to taking them just before.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
It's better if I do it at the
beginning. Take them with a quart of water. Take them with a reasonable amount of water.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I've got to come up with something to get me to drink between meals then, because I just don't think about it.
Yeah, well, if you set an alarm for, do you prepare your own meals?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so does it usually take you like a half an hour to get it all together and then? Okay, good.
15 minutes. Yeah.
Right at the time, maybe you set an alarm that says, okay, 15 minutes before that you normally would start. But a half an hour before your meal, just drink as much water as you want to and then stop.
Okay.
That helps. It also helps, you don't have to worry about that, but some of us do. It keeps you from overeating, right? People who have some weight to lose, it's a good thing to do because it suppresses appetite. You don't want to do too much of that because you're thin. I would say that you can do it the half hour before when you first get up in the morning. Great time to get in, you know, 16 to 32 ounces of water when you first wake up.
It's okay to take my thyroid pill with that much water then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not a problem.
Is there anything that causes supplements to become less effective, say, because they're eaten with the meal? I understand that certain things shouldn't be taken with other certain things, and I haven't really worked that out so far.
There's certain obvious ones, but you can't do it. You can't do it all. Okay. Like every minute, every 5 minutes, it'd drive you nuts, right? So, don't take vitamin C with iodine. But here's the deal.
Okay.
Iodine, high iodine foods usually have vitamin C in them, so it's not the amount that's like in a food that's going to interfere with each other. It's when you take a lot amounts. So when we take magnesium, we're taking more magnesium than's normally in the food, more vitamin C than is normally in the food. And that excessive amount of too much vitamin C with iodine will interfere with its absorption.
Okay. For a typical 2% Lugol solution, what's a daily number of drops that makes sense for somebody like me?
It depends on your iodine load test.
Okay.
Right?
Fair enough.
It really does, because some people take one drop of that stuff. That's all they need. And some people, if they're in a major iodine deficiency or they've got a bromine excess, we have them taking like 10 drops of that stuff.
Okay.
So if you're just taking it for insurance purposes, just take it low until you get the iodine load test, because it can actually interfere with thyroid function if you take too much. And you're going to be doing the antibody test because you haven't had those yet. Or you haven't had them in 10 years.
Not that I can remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Anytime there's any thyroid issues, and you know, for any female especially, but a lot of males as well, I'm just routinely doing thyroid antibodies. That's part of my initial, you know, homocysteine, hemoglobin A1C, fasting insulin, thyroid antibodies, free T3, total T4. Like that should be just part of a normal, hey, I'm tired, I want to work up. All of that stuff should be in there, because so many of that, and a lot of people don't do that. And then we find out like 6 months later that they had a problem with the thyroid, you know, antibodies. And you're going to deal with things a little bit. You're going to be looking in more corners, like for more causes than you are right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. All right, guys, have a great rest of the day. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon on the next Empowered Healthcare call. Bye.